When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, welcome to this very fun episode of TFL Talking Trucks. And to my left, as always, is Andrei Smirnov, the managing editor of TFL Truck, and the one person who should be a juror on the North American Car and Truck of the Year Awards, because Andrei, you know more about trucks than anybody else out there. But what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, the world of pickup trucks, new ones, the world of off-road pickups is getting more and more complicated with so many different choices and options. It's really fun. But it could be complicated and daunting to look at.
So we're going to be updating videos and podcasts we've done in the past where we talk about kind of the most off-road worthy trucks. And since the last time we did it, there's been a number of new trucks, new truck trims, models that have come into existence that weren't around. So let's get right into it.
Yeah, and I also want to have kind of a more affordable focus on this episode, right?
Because is there such a thing as affordable trucks?
I want it to be.
I know we all want it to be, but is there such a thing? I mean, every comment we get is like, this truck's too expensive.
Yes. And also, partially, this episode is about you guys, of course. We have a question from one of our Patreon supporters, Matthew. So near the end of the show, we can also show you our conversation with Matthew. And Matthew had a really great question related to off-road trucks. He has a newish truck, which is just a couple years old, and he wants to make it more off-road capable on a budget.
Yeah, so we'll roll that interview question at the
near the end. Yeah.
Near the end, and then we'll answer your question, Matthew. So, Andrei, let's start with the world of heavy-duty trucks, because that's what's up there behind us on the screen. What are we looking at here?
So we're looking at the Chevrolet. So let's start at GM, right?
Okay.
Chevrolet recently made news because for 2025, their heavy-duty truck, the Silverado, has a new trim altogether, which is the Trail Boss. And that name is familiar to us, right? Because
we owned one.
We owned one. We had a 2020 light-duty Trail Boss Silverado.
A full-size or 1500.
1500 truck. And this name, this kind of name for Chevy has been very successful. They've since then introduced Colorado Trail Boss, which actually I own. I ended up buying. And now it's a heavy-duty truck as well. So there's so many options in this world now.
So tell me about the new heavy-duty Trail Boss. What does it get you that a regular heavy-duty 2500 Chevy won't?
So first of all, there's an underlying...
And is it a 2500?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And actually only a 2500. So,
no 3500.
So, you know, it depends on the manufacturer, how they position, you know, some of these off-road packages. But for GM, they really want to focus it on the shorter wheelbase, which is not an 8-foot bed, because that would be insane. You would never be able to turn one of those trucks.
Yeah, well, a dually would be insane. But I've seen plenty of dualies with off-road tires on them, and I've seen plenty of lifted dualies, not from the factory, but certainly on the road.
But how many of those lifted dualies actually go off-road, Roman?
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the High Road ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. High Road makes it easy, and we like easy.
Maybe zero?
I think they're more
maybe one.
A show than go.
Yeah, well, a lot of those trucks bring trailers to the trailhead, right?
Yeah.
So they tow massive trailers on dirt roads.
Or horses.
And horses. So so the trail bus package and the heavy duty gets you, it's partially a cosmetic package. So if you look at some of these images, if you're watching this on TFL Talk channel, we've got blacked out trim. We've got red tow hooks, Roman, because that's almost a requirement now. And black door handles, black trim. But it's based on a Z71 package that gets you hill descent control, skid plates, and special suspension.
You know, I gotta say, Andre, I'm not a huge fan of heavy-duty off-road trucks because they're sprung so tightly, you know, to carry heavy loads that they tend to beat you up off-road. At least that has been my experience. Now, I know there are a lot of heavy-duty trucks that are off-road worthy. Specifically, I think AEV, you know, with their Brute, does some of the best.
Their Prospectors.
The Prospector.
Yep.
Is there a Brute? There's a Brute, right?
There's a Brute Jeep.
There's a Brute. It's a Jeep. Okay. So it's a Jeep. So the Prospector
is a Ram.
The Ram, yeah, Cummins. And I've never driven one of those off-road, but we have taken all three of the major heavy-duty trucks off-road. And we have a Cummins 2500 that we actually customized with Fox suspension, with a pretty big lift, with what size tires we put on?
37s, yeah.
37s. And I don't love it off-road for not just the one reason I stated, which is they're sprung, you know, to tow and to haul, but they're also so very, very big that they're hard to kind of get through tight places.
Yeah, it definitely depends on where you live, right?
Yes.
So if you live in the Rocky Mountain region like we do here in Colorado.
Well, if you have trees.
If you have trees or if you have ledges, shelf roads.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Which are narrow and, you know, you're negotiating these very tight areas, then maybe a big heavy-duty off-road is not for you. But if you're in the deserts, I don't know, if California, Nevada, or other places, then maybe a heavy-duty truck may work for you in some instances.
Remember when we had that Ford F-250 that we built out?
We called it Super Tremor.
Yes, remember that? And we put the camper on it, the four-wheel camper, and we took it up Tin Cup.
Yes.
How did you like driving that up Tin Cup?
I remember.
Tin Cup is this pass that you can do in Colorado.
Which is moderately difficult.
I think it's moderate.
Either a 5 or 6 out of 10 on the Onyx off-road map of ratings. I had to use every bit of my skill, Roman, to drive that up that mountain pass. And I did okay. I want to say I didn't scratch anything. You know, I had to be mindful of the size of that truck, height-wise and width-wise, because it was huge. And I remember this one thing really clearly. When we crested the very summit, and there were people parked there. And people looked at me with amazement.
That you were such a big,
bold
truck up
there. Why are you bringing your heavy-duty truck up here? They were just in shock when they saw me.
And I know, you know, people wanted use heavy-duty trucks off-road because, let's face it, in America, bigger is better.
Yes.
But in this case, bigger may not necessarily be great if you're doing everyday off-roading. And I understand that people want to put a camper on the back of it. But if I had a heavy-duty truck with, let's say, a four-wheel camper or some other sliding camper, I would love to use it to tow, you know, something like a side-by-side behind. So I would take it to the trailhead or, you know, to Moab and then park it and live out of it. And I would not necessarily take it to run the White Room Trail. I would take the side-by-side. I think that's a better solution personally for me. But I'm not blaming people who want to go off-road. I mean, these things are certainly heavy.
So here's where I am with some of these packages.
Well, right? the other problem is the diesel. If you put a diesel in it, right? If you put a Duramax in the Chevy.
You could, yeah.
It makes that front end very heavy
because
diesels are just inherently much heavier than gas-powered engines.
Exactly. And so when I look at this new heavy-duty Silverado Trail Boss 2500 truck, I kind of also look at the Ram heavy-duty Rebel that was, you know, released, what, a year or maybe 2 years ago. And they're mostly, I want to say, almost cosmetic packages. They have a lot of capability built in. But look, they're using 20-inch wheels. Mm. So does the Ram. The tire is not huge. This is a 34-inch tire. So the sidewall is not very huge. But they just look mean, right? They have that appearance. And I think that's where a lot of the owners and customers of these trucks want to feel like. They want to see have a big truck that could pull them out of a snowbank or help people and be very capable, but also have that mean look.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing more fun than like hearing that turbo spool up on the Cummins when we're, you know, in dirt and then,
yes.
You know, going up a big steep hill. These are very fun things to do, but my back just won't take the pounding that these trucks give you off-road.
Yeah, and of course, you can, like you said, you can customize your suspension, but let's leave it to another show. Right?
Do you think you can customize it to the point to making it? Because we had, what do we have on the Ford? What was it?
There was a Carly system. It was a pin-top system.
Which I remember was kind of top of the line, right? That was, mm-hmm. dare I say it, the Cadillac of off-road suspensions.
And we had custom springs, too.
Yeah.
And remember, our rear springs, the team at Carly set up for our camper.
Yeah,
and we had that because we had additional weight.
Yeah, we had that very light camper. And yeah. yet, Andre, it still was pretty, pretty, pretty rough off-road.
So now you're probably wondering, how much is this new truck?
How much is this new truck, Andre?
$65,230. And this is...
That seems cheap for an HD2500. Is it a gasser? Is that the 6.6?
That's a gas version. That's a gas. 6.6 gas V8. Yeah. Well, it may seem cheap when we are talking about $100,000 trucks, but it's still a pretty high entry point for this Trail Boss.
You could easily get a 150 or a Silverado 1500
above this
very yeah. quickly, yeah. and it won't have the capability.
So if you want the diesel will cost you, of course, over 10 grand. Mm. So, and what other things they have in their stable of Silverado heavy duties are, like you said, ZR2s, right? Those have... DSSV shocks, and then they have the Bison versions of those trucks, right? Right, steel bumpers, really heavy-duty skid plates packages underneath the. But those trucks are now entering $80,000 and $90,000 territory with some of those with those diesel engines.
I think that GM has taken huge steps. I remember when we had this conversation 10 years ago, we'd be like scratching our heads and saying, where are all the GM off-road trucks?
Because we would be looking at Z71s,
that
right?
was it. Yeah, it was Z71, yeah. and that was it with, you know, that G80 locker. And you had no choice of better suspension. You had no choice of a lift. And now you look at specifically the AEV stuff that they're doing both for the Colorado and the Canyon.
And the heavy-duty trucks, too.
It's just amazing with the amount of off-road capability you can get from the factory.
Yeah, I wanted to quickly look at Ford, right? And of course, we haven't forgotten about the Power Wagon.
No.
The Power Wagon is still there on the Ram side.
Soldiers on.
But it's not updated, Roman, right?
That's why I said it's soldiers on.
Yes, it's not updated. It's about the same. It does have a unique suspension, solid axles.
I think the Power Wagon has sort of been left in the dust.
Yeah, it was great 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And now it was king of the road.
And now all the competitors, you know. I remember when I was in Detroit when Ford unveiled the Tremor nameplate, the model. And I thought to myself, well, there you have it, Power Wagon. What are you going to do? Because, of course, the Tremor, unlike the Power Wagon, was available in the diesel Power Stroke. And I thought, well, you know, they're going to have to definitely answer with a Cummins in the Power Wagon. And that never happened. And if you talk to Stellantis or Ram in this case, they'll tell you that the engine just is too big and too heavy. And they're probably right about that, but it doesn't matter in the marketplace whether you're right or wrong. It matters what people want and don't want. And people want heavy-duty off-road diesel trucks.
Yeah, for the reasons we just stated. So, you know what? We'll have to wait and see. So Ram is supposed to release their trucks or the update, the 2025 update, in this fall,
yep.
this fall and within the next few months. So we'll have to wait and see. I hope they take this opportunity to really dress up the Power Wagon with bigger tires and maybe more capability.
Well, do you think it needs a Cummins? You think they'll slap that in there finally?
That's a big ask. Because if they're not changing the frame, if they're not changing the cab, if they're not changing some of the other things on the truck, it's a big ask.
The Power Wagon had a bunch of things that was unique to it, right, or has. So it wasn't just the fact that it was lifted. It wasn't just the fact that it had a cool name. But you could also, for a long time, it was the only heavy-duty truck you can get from the factory with a winch.
And dual lockers, too.
And dual lockers.
Rear lockers, exactly.
But now with the Tremor package on the F-250, you can get a winch from the factory, Andre.
Yeah.
It's no longer the only game alone. Yeah, it's no longer the only game in town.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just trying to find a Ram Power Wagon image. Like you said, amazing name, right? Amazing brand, storied brand, going back to, you know, World War II days. So they have, I think they can really step it up and make it something pretty crazy.
Yeah. I hope you're right, because I love the Power Wagon. I just have a deep down respect for the fact that this has been one of the oldest nameplates to be basically an off-road truck, right? It goes back to the military version of it. It just kind of has not been changed for, what, 10 years, maybe more?
And it has a downfall, towing and payload, right?
Yeah.
So you're buying a heavy-duty vehicle, which is really large and really tough, but because it's so much focused on that off-road suspension, you're losing payload and towing numbers. And now customers, I don't think they're willing to accept that anymore.
Well, I think what that has allowed AEV to do is to create the ultimate Power Wagon, right, with the Prospector. If Ram were watching the space more closely, they might see that this is just a huge market opportunity for them, because if you look at Prospectors, dude, first of all, you can get the Mega Cab in the Ram, and then you can get the Mega Cab in the Prospector.
Yes.
Which basically gives you enough space in the back where you could put a bed in the back of your Ram.
And sleep in it.
So you don't even actually have to sleep at the Prospector. So you actually don't have to sleep, in the
camper.
In the camper, right? The other thing that the Prospector is very expensive. I think they sell for $125,000, last time I checked.
Depends on some of the options, mm-hmm. Yes. But you're talking six figures just to enter that space.
And I don't understand why, because the Prospector is a Ram, it can be a mega cab, that AEV basically customizes from the factory. But you can't order a Prospector from Ram.
You have to take it to AEV.
Yeah, so maybe Ram figures, well, they're buying these things anyway, so we'll leave a lot of money on the table and let AEV customize it as opposed to us doing it in-house. And which is odd, because they're closing factories right now and laying off people, and this is a missed opportunity. And I was doing a little bit of, before we bought that crazy military truck, I thought to ourselves, maybe we should get a Prospector, and then I saw the price, and I thought, maybe we shouldn't, Andre. But they have one now with a camper on the back. I think there's an AEV camper. I forget what it's called.
It's called the Truck House.
The Truck House, The Truck House.
The Truck House. The Truck House is a separate company that builds the, house.
Okay, so it's Prospector
upgrades. Plus the Truck House.
Plus the Truck House. Yeah. That, I think, is...
That looks cool.
I think those two combined are probably the ultimate off-roader that you can get without going to Earth Roamer. Earth Roamer now, you're stepping up another $500,000 beyond what the Prospector. And how much is a Truck House? You Google it?
Let's see how
much a Truck House costs.
Yeah. And they build a Truck House on both the two-door version of the Ram and the crew cab. So you can kind of have that.
All right, Ram, if you're listening,
listening,
here's what you can do. You can do this yourself in-house.
Build your own house.
You can build your own Prospector, and you can build your own Truck House. Call it the Powerhouse. Right?
Yes.
The Powerhouse. Like there it is. Yeah.
I like that.
Call it the Powerhouse. Stick it on a Ram Mega Cab and charge. I don't know how much it costs, but you could probably charge half of what AEV and Truck House are charging and all of the, install and labor. And you could still make, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 per unit and just take that business back to yourself. And I'm sorry, AEV and Truck House. I know you probably stay up at night worrying about that, and I kind of probably said what the CEOs of these companies are thinking, but big corporations move slowly, so you probably have nothing to fear. So do we get a price on the Truck House?
No, if you want to know, you probably can't afford it, Roman.
Oh, it's one of those, is it? Is it the website?
Well, first of all, it's, I think they're booked for like a year or two.
There you go, Ram.
So they're already booked.
Ram House.
They're already booked, Roman. So they can take a $50,000 deposit if you're really serious about this, and then maybe in a couple of years you can get your truck house.
Yeah,
this is where it's at now.
What an opportunity!
So
is this going to be? You think we're going to have the We've got some actually pretty cool stuff at the office right now because of the Overland Expo, which is coming in.
Which is coming very soon.
Here to Colorado.
Yeah.
So before we keep going on this list, why don't you tell them, well, for the first thing we have, which is kind of crazy, it's the coolest, scariest bike out there. We've got a, you would say Ural, right?
Yes, because of the mountains.
And I would say Ural.
Yes.
Three-wheel, and this is off the topic, but we have a Ural three-wheel motorcycle, which is a copy of a BMW sidecar. That came out in the war, and Alex just drove it to the office, and it's kind of a showcase for a lot of motorcycle parts, but he said it was terrifying to ride.
Yeah, this is one of their ultimate builds. Basically, every year, Overland Expo does at least two builds,
yep.
Right? They do a truck build, and they do a motorcycle build.
And thank you for lending it to us to review.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like you said, it's a showcase for some of the accessories, you know, racks and lights and even the refrigerators for your motorcycle and winches.
Yeah, I think Alex is going to do a TikTok, the only motorcycle with a built-in fridge.
Yeah,
which
you
is
can
true
see it right here.
Yeah, I see it right there. It's pretty cool.
So
if you guys are not following all of our videos, TikToks, shorts, reels, just head on over to alltfl.com and you can see all that. I think that's cool, but the reason I bring this up is because they also lent us a truck. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. This is another build, another ultimate build, like
I said. Tell me about it.
It's a GMC Canyon, so it's based on the brand new GMC Canyon AT4X, basically an AEV edition, which is the most off-road ready midsize pickup truck from GMC.
So is it officially GMC Canyon AT4X AEV edition? Would that be on the Monroney?
Ultimate build.
Ultimate.
Is an ultimate build.
But I'm saying
The Monroney.
Okay.
All
right. Yeah.
AEV
all right.
edition.
All right. I got that right.
Well, I wish they had another punchy name. Like a Bison Chevy is a good strong name. But
tell them about the video we just published this week, which was the TFL, the ultimate TFL towing torture
toaster
test toaster.
That's easy for you to say.
Basically, what we're doing is we're taking the steepest grade around Colorado, around our offices, which is very steep. And on the hottest days of the year, over 90 degrees, we've tested now two trucks up there. First, we did the Ford F-150, right? No, the Silverado, was that first?
Silverado 1500.
So that overheated.
Yeah.
And then we did the F-150. What happened with that?
It had two overheat moments.
Yep, and then we had a really interesting time because we just got the brand new Ram with the Hurricane Turbo 6.
Yep.
And we're not going to tell you what happened. You have to go to alltfl.com to see it. But it was also interesting because we had three failures, Andre, so it's a really good test. But let's go back to the Canyon that you've got there up on the screen.
Yeah.
So tell me about this off-road build. It looks really badass.
Yeah, it's really mean looking. And I think GMC styling, I think, is one of the best styling for a midsize truck. And what's going on here is it is a camper, basically an overland build, right? So they modified the suspension to handle a little bit more weight because it has a rack system, a tent. It has...
I got $50,000 worth of parts on that thing.
It could be that.
Yeah. That tent alone is probably a good $4,000 or $5,000.
Or if not 10.
It depends.
This is an Alu cab
it's more
topper.
Expensive. Yeah, so
it's not a full cabin,
right?
But it's a top mounted tent.
And look, a snorkel.
Everything. Oh, by the way, that snorkel air intake. I'm using quotes, air quotes, because it's really a raised intake.
Yeah. Did they upsize from 35s to 37s?
No, it's still 35s.
Still 35s. Yeah. Okay.
Sitting on 35s. The snorkel is on sale, so you can buy the snorkel for your GMC Canyon AT4X from a GM dealership or directly from AEV.
Yep.
So both of them work.
So we're looking at lights on the front.
A winch. Yes.
We're looking at a push bar.
Yes.
We're looking at a lift.
Slight lift because of the suspension is heavier.
Different wheels, I think.
Different wheels, different tires.
Tires, different snorkel. And then
a roof rack.
Roof rack.
Storage boxes.
Storage, decked. I think it's got
deck system.
Storage boxes. And on the back, it's got a whole bunch of stuff too. And it's got an awning. It's just kind of the ultimate mid-sized off-road build for overlanding, if you're serious about it. Dude, I think that, does that have dual lockers? It must have dual locker.
Yeah.
That
truck
is going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, and it and you're going to be driving it
soon
as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing one of my Everything You Need to Know trail guide videos with it because I'm super curious to see how it does. I think I'm going to be taking Mosquito Pass, which isn't one of the hardest passes, but the series isn't about testing the truck. It's more about showing off the pass and the trail, but it's still a fine companion to have on a pass like Mosquito. Always better to have more capability than less, Andre. I'm a big fan of that.
Let's bring it down to earth, Armin,
okay?
Because we're talking about six-figure trucks again.
All right, let's go back.
Okay, let's bring it down to earth. So we went over GM, at least Chevrolet, right? Chevrolet space. So we have Z71, Trail Boss, and ZR2 trucks there. We talked about Ram heavy duties, which was Rebel and also Power Wagon. Now for Ford, last year they introduced a pretty cool package, I think, for their work Super Duty trucks. We're still in a kind of a heavy duty space here. It's called XL Off-Road. It has a very, maybe not creative name, but very direct name. And if I build an F-250 crew cab 4x4 with an XL Off-Road package, look at the price, dude. It starts with a gas engine at $52,550.
All right. You just blew my mind, Andre, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
And we talked about this last time, right? So you can get now, so Ford has obviously a lot of top-end off-road trucks, including the Raptor.
Raptors everywhere.
The Raptor R, you know, the Tremor, and now this base XL off-road package. And yet, Andre.
Yes, what?
You can't get the hybrid Maverick with an off-road package. That's got to be a conscious decision on the part of Ford, right? They had to have been like, let's save something for the next update.
Probably.
I'm still salty, Andre, because we ordered one. I was expecting to be able to get at least the FX4 package, and you can't.
On your hybrid all-wheel drive.
Right, yeah. So you can have gas economy, or you can go off-roading. By the way, before we get to some other question, we got a really interesting email here. I want to read this to you.
Yes.
And this actually is kind of semi-trucky, but I want to kind of talk about this on the podcast. So,
yes.
So let me read it to you. This is from, that wasn't from Dan. Where was this?
By the way, while you're looking,
I'm looking.
We really thank you for your support on patreon.com/TFLcar, which is our only Patreon page there. We have many supporters, many comments, a lot of feedback and questions from you guys. We also post early looks at our videos that are upcoming there, so you can get an early look at some of the stuff we're doing before anybody else sees it. And also, it's a way for you guys to schedule some time with us here at the podcast to discuss your questions or comments. And we can do it via video conferencing. So if you want to be on video with us and on our podcast, let us know. Join patreon.com/TFLcar, and we could schedule something right there.
All right, so let me read you some of these questions that people are sending us, and I'll get to the one that I like. This is a really nice one from Dan on Patreon. Mm-hmm. He says, my son and I finally took our 2004 Forerunner up to the Ironclads. You folks make it look so easy.
Nice.
I have a 3-inch lift, and there were some challenging sections. We also chickened out in the last climb, as we did not have a second vehicle. We are very impressed with your skills, Andre. Would love a clinic from you guys. And I think I love that email because camera flattens everything out.
Yeah, camera makes everything look easy.
And it's not. And so I appreciate you, Dan, pointing that out. And it gives me a chance to kind of, you know, wear our credibility on our sleeve because we are doing things that most people aren't doing. And it's nice that you pointed that out. This is an interesting thing that I've now seen a lot out there.
Okay.
And once again, these are like internet things that sometimes are true and sometimes aren't true. But let's see if you know anything about this. TFL, I have a 2024 Ranger ordered. Recently, I heard about this truck needing a load box reinforcement kit.
Okay.
I was wondering if you can shed any light on this is needed and why Ford is putting the kit on at the factory. They're saying it is needed for any accessories over 90 pounds that will go on the bed rails, for example, a cap. I'm planning to put one on. Any information or insight appreciated. And that's an interesting email because we just put a GoFast camper on ours.
On our Ranger, yeah.
I've seen a bunch of comments saying that it won't be able to handle it. Have you seen any structural disintegrity on our Ranger after putting that on?
Not only did we put a GFC GoFast camper on our Ranger Raptor, we also just took it on Kingston Peak Trail, which was a lot of washboard road, a lot of really, really tough off-roading. Not super technical off-roading, but really, really bumpy stuff with lots of rocks. And you were following me, Roman, right?
Yep.
And I was very pleased with the way that the Ranger and the camper worked together. Really solid connection. So, no, we don't have any reinforcement kits on our bed. And also, did you notice my bed jiggling or flexing or anything like that?
I did not.
So here's the other thing. All beds on pickup trucks now have these plastic toppers. They basically protect the top of your bed. And what I did notice when we mounted our camper to our Ranger Raptor is that plastic tends to get wavy a little bit. You know, it gets squished by where the camper attaches to it. And I don't know if that plastic really is meant, you know, to handle like campers like that. So the plastic itself goes a little bit wavy, but the structure of the bed remains.
So in our experience, we have not had any issues. And how much does that thing weigh? It's probably at least 200 pounds, right?
275.
Yeah, so it's a lot. And this is something interesting. It kind of goes back to our Maverick discussion. This was sent from Best Wishes, no name. He said, I've noticed that the distinction between traditional CVTs and eCVTs is sometimes blurred in your discussion,
okay,
which is, you know, something that the Maverick has.
Variable. Yeah,
particularly on the podcast. For example, Roman often uses the term interchangeably, although these systems are fundamentally different in operation and design. So, yes, we understand that eCVTs and CVTs are very different. So a CVT, I'm going to make this very simple, is a cone with a chain that goes up and down, and an eCVT is a planetary gear set. And the reason I use them interchangeably is not because I'm not aware of the fact that they are fundamentally different, but because they are designed for one specific purpose, and that is to save fuel. And in that regard, they feel identical to me. I know they operate differently, but they both feel like there's a pillow between me and the accelerator. So whenever I push on the pillow, instead of getting instant torque, I get, in the case of both of these, kind of this kind of mushy reaction to the throttle because the engine is working very hard not to work very hard. Right, to save fuel. And so, you know, best wishes. I appreciate the fact that you are pointing out that they're mechanically very different, but in the long run, to me, they're just, you know, same problem, different animals.
Same driving experience.
Yeah, same driving, yeah. Same problem, different
animals. But there became, I mean, you got to give it to some of these manufacturers.
It's like if you're eaten by a bear or a tiger.
You're still eaten.
Yeah.
Okay. It may happen in different ways, but you're still it's pretty impressive what they're doing, right? We're talking about all-wheel drive capability in the Maverick eCVT with 40 mpg in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still impressive what they combine. They combine some utility in this little truck with amazing efficiency.
But, you know, I was kind of wagering a guess last time we talked to Andre that the reason that Ford didn't put the off-road package on the Maverick is because they're CVT isn't designed for off-roading. And of course, the company that has written the book on CVTs and off-roading is Subaru.
Using all CVTs.
All CVTs, not eCVTs, but CVTs. And maybe Ford doesn't feel like they have the engineering prowess. You get it? I'm baiting Ford now, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they feel like they don't have the engineering prowess to compete with Subaru and their CVTs off-road. I'm just guessing, Andre, but, you know, if I were Ford, I might take those as fighting words and see if I can actually, you know, put an off-road package on a Maverick with a CVT.
Direct all your questions to Roman at... what's your
It's email? Info at TFL Truck. Ask a TFL Truck. Andre will get that. .com, yeah.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, so getting back to the F-250 or F-Series, you could do some of this affordably, Roman. And this off-road package, the work truck off-road package, gives you a 33 Duratrac tire, so it's a beefy tire, and you could do it with a gas engine at, what, under 55 grand. Depending on discounts, it could be lower, of course, rebates, but... you could do it affordably still in a heavy-duty truck.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's great because the last time we went to Moab with the three different heavy-duty trucks, I think all those were around 90,000, if I remember right.
Yeah. So I want to look at another Ram.
Okay, let's
now
look at
Ram. Full size.
Okay.
Not heavy-duty. Let me see. Let me get here.
Let me ask you this, Andre.
Yes.
You know how Ram has created the Rebel model?
Yes.
And made that their off-road one?
Yes.
Why didn't they like just go with the Power Wagon brand? Don't you think it would have been much stronger, right? Like you know how Prius created a whole sub model of Priuses because the Prius was so popular. Couldn't they have kind of gone that same route? Corvette, there was a little story that Corvette was building a bunch of different Corvettes.
Or Mustang brand.
Right, like the Mach-E.
Sure.
But couldn't the Power Wagon have been the brand for off-roading, the ultimate off-roader for Ram? So you could have a heavy-duty Power Wagon. You can have a
light-duty Power
light
wagon.
Wagon, yeah.
Mid-size Power Wagon.
Yeah.
They don't have
Dakota
any mid-size.
Dakota Power Wagon, yeah.
Yes. Actually, that's a good point. Because it seemed like they were thinking about the Power Wagon literally, almost. Because the Power Wagon was always kind of this big, tough, heavy truck. And I think they literally went there with their heavy-duty truck. But they could have extended that name. I agree with you. I think they could.
I mean, I already see the commercial for the Ram 1500 Power Wagon.
Yeah. But do you see yourself in a Ram 1500 Warlock?
Yeah, or, the Warlock. That's a
yeah,
weird
that's
one.
Another name.
That's another weird one. Yeah.
So the Warlock name was another classic truck, right? The
right.
Classic truck was the previous gen truck, the DS generation.
So, which was, you know, the idea with that, and GM did this too, where they built the previous generation for like a year before, you know, they
discontinued it.
Except
it lasted 4 years.
Yeah, Rams just kept building the classic.
Yes. But now that name, the Warlock name, is extends even to the new 2025 models.
So there's a new 2025 Ram. Is it with the Hurricane?
It could be.
Or Pentastar.
It could be both.
Okay.
So not many people know about this guy, but it is a pretty aggressive. It's not a Rebel. It's not a Rebel. And this is kind of related to the question that Matthew sent us.
Okay.
That we discussed. So in a little bit, we'll play Matthew's question here. Because Ram has several packages, once again, something called Off-Road, something called now Warlock, Rebel, TRX, well, TRX is gone, and then RHO is coming, and of course, Power Wagon.
So knowing Ram, the Warlock probably starts at 95,000.
You are almost right. No.
It was always the affordable off-roader, so how much does it go for?
This one is only crew cab,
okay,
with a shorter bed. Starting price, drum roll, is 53,255, but that's after an incentive.
Oh,
before an incentive, it's more like 56,000.
That's after royalty cash and
all kinds of different incentives. Yeah. So it's let's call it mid 50s, 55 to 56, maybe a little bit lower with incentives. But I think it's kind of an interesting package. You get off-road tires, a little bit higher ground clearance.
I like it, Andre.
It looks pretty cool, right?
But I don't know what the difference is between that and the Rebel. What don't you get in the Warlock that you get in the Rebel?
Aha. Maybe we should play our question.
Is that the question?
Yeah, we discussed some of these points.
All right, well, let's play the question, and we'll be right back after we play the question.
With Matthew.
And you answer it.
You, Matthew, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. So what's your question?
I'm just wondering, I have a 21 Ram built to serve. It comes with the off-road package, which is the main thing, you know, rear locker, body lift and all that. I've always heard of this truck being referred to as like a Rebel Light. And I'm just wondering pretty much how this kind of compares to a Rebel and what kind of things I could expect to do with it and what it might need a little help with. I know the only difference seems to be that the Rebel gets the upgraded suspension, whereas like the built to serve off-road package only has like the Dodge or the Ram tuned off-road
shock
suspension.
Yeah.
So
first of all,
right.
I wanted a little bit of background from you. So first of all, where are you from and where do you use your truck?
So I'm from New York. Okay. And as far as where I use my truck, you know, I'm in upstate New York and it's not really the city. We're out in country, you know, land. So I'm always getting some kind of wood or, you know, I have a couple of trailers that might need to be hauled every once in a while. And, you know, it's just great for having a truck for truck needs.
Yeah. Yeah. And then how many miles did you buy it brand new? And how many miles are you driving?
So I bought it this last winter with 8,000 miles on it. The okay. story I was told, it was a retired veteran. This was the Marine edition. So I'm guessing if he was a Marine.
Yeah.
And he leased it out for 3 years and he hardly drove the truck, you know, at all. So when I saw it had 8,000 miles on it, it was like buying a brand new truck pretty much. But yeah, I really wanted it because like I'd mentioned, I had a Gladiator and it was, you know, for what it was, it wasn't very comfortable. I didn't really like it on long road drives, you know, having the straight axle. It was kind of smaller. I wanted something bigger that I could tow with and haul with. So I went and got this truck.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, first of all, I got to say, I really love the Ram Built to Serve series. Like you said, they started, what, in 21, and they had a couple of other versions. The image behind me here is a 2023 EMT edition of it. So they were trying to kind of highlight and, you know, branches of military and then also first responders. So I really love that. I also love kind of the look of it. Do you have the blacked out grill as well?
Yep. So mine comes with the blackout package and the LED lights. They also get, so the wheels that it come with are an onyx color. They're not black. They're almost kind of like a charcoal gray, blackish. So they come with, you know, special wheels. The interior is all kind of same kind of accent with that onyx color, they call it.
Yeah.
But it also gets like the Rebel seats, which is kind of cool how it's got that kind of perforation in it. It's kind of like a leather cloth mix.
Yeah.
So. Oh, and yeah, it also and gets like a safe.
You could, there's some Velcro, right? Or you could put badges or something.
So it's got Velcro on the sides and the back of the seat where you could put, you know, patches if you served.
Yeah.
And I think it's got some other stuff. They call them map rings in the back. Uh-huh. People can put, you know, shotgun shells or whatever else in it, you know.
Yeah. So, first of all, like your question is, so first of all, you have a cool truck already, right? It's you got a Hemi, you got the off-road package, which is a Ram 1500 off-road package on this particular truck, right? So that
right with skid plates, rear locker.
Yeah. So really, I would kind of agree. You mentioned something like a budget. Is it a budget Rebel? And also, how do you, you know, get it to the next level? Definitely, I would agree. It's a budget level Rebel 1500. Another truck similar to yours might
that
be
country,
like the
right?
Ram 1500 Classic Warlock.
Right. Yeah, I'd cross shop that. I just noticed that the Warlock didn't get the rear locker. And to have the rear locker, I mean, it's not a huge deal to me, but it is really nice to have. And I mean, you can't go wrong with a locker.
Yeah. So I think you're already, you know, really ahead of most other trucks. The only thing, like you kind of alluded to, the Ram 1500 Rebel, it's got a little bit more height and a bigger tire, right?
Right.
Potentially. So if you wanted to, so here's what I would say. First of all, the tire is very important itself.
Right.
You know, the brand of tire or the type of tire. We tried many different tires here over the years at TFL Truck. I'm kind of a fan of the BF Goodrich KO2 and now KO3, also the Goodyear Wrangler, like Duratrax, but most recently it's been Territory MT or AT tires. I find that, I'm assuming you have snow, right, where you live?
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. Another great one, great feature this truck had was four-wheel drive auto, which my Jeep didn't. Uh-huh. And I mean, we're constantly going from snow to rain. It's New York, so the weather changes, you know, within the hour. So it's great to have that four-wheel drive auto.
Yeah, that's sweet. And you have more room, obviously, right, than the Jeep.
Right, yeah.
Gladiator.
A lot more payload, a lot more towing capability.
Heck yeah. So I would say, I mean, the tire is very important. So I don't know, what tire do you have now?
So these came with 20 inches, the 20 inch wheels, which I wasn't a huge fan of, but you know, that's what it came with. And it's got Falcon Wild Peak ATs.
Okay.
Which so far I've had it in the winter. We haven't had any serious snow, but for the little snow we do have, it seems to work great. I've taken it, you know, through a couple of backyards here and there just to do some work. And I've never had to, you know, rip up the ground at all with the four-wheel drive and the locker. So
yeah, so that's very important. Obviously, if you have a good tire, I personally don't have a lot of Wild Peak experience, but I know like some of the other guys at TFL, Alex and Case, really love that tire as well. And then ground clearance, right? That's probably the next item I would look at. So I would look at tires first. So if, you know, whenever the time comes for you to upgrade or change your tires, kind of look at maybe stepping up, maybe a tiny bit in size, if you don't want to do a suspension lift, right? And then also the composition of the tire, right? You know, all terrain or whatnot. And then the Rebel has Bilstein shocks, right? So when you get the 1500 Rebel, that shock package is a little bit more, I would say, robust. And the only way I think you would know the difference between them is like some more extreme usage. And by extreme usage, I mean, for example, washboard roads. So years ago, I used to have a Chevy heavy duty Silverado, and I remember it had stock shocks on it. And I was on the washboard road. It was a hot summer day, and I was towing a boat trailer. And all of a sudden I looked back and there's like a little bit of smoke, and basically the shocks basically boiled over and exploded. So I had like shock fluid leaking on my back axle. And so because there was so much kind of up and down motion, it was really hot and I was towing pretty, you know, I had some weight on the truck. So I think unless you really are pushing the truck, you will, you know, you may not see those benefits of a more expensive shock.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, because so what if what would you say with towing wise, though? Would that Bilstein really help a lot with towing?
I guess it depends if you're going aftermarket, right? So Bilstein or another company offers a lot of different levels. On the Bilstein, it's like what, 3100, 5100, 8100, and kind of some of the other shocks in between. The higher the number of the shock, the more capable and the more expensive that shock is. Then also you could look at adjustable shocks. So some shocks, you could actually twist the knob and you could make it a little bit stiffer for towing. So when you're towing, you want a little bit more, I guess, stiffer support so you don't have sway, right?
Gotcha, right.
You're trying to kind of avoid sway there. But then on the flip side, if you're on a kind of a, you know, mogul or off-road trail, you want a little bit of softer suspension. And so it'll help you, you know, on some of our bigger bumps. So you just kind of have to weigh the two, right? But like the off-road package that you have, you might be good enough. I mean, unless you're really towing, or maybe you're towing an off-road trailer, right?
If you're going
somewhere, you know, camping in the backwoods.
Yeah, because these get the 390, what was it, the 392 rear end.
Yeah.
So they're rated for quite a bit, I think 11,000.
Yeah. And the Rebel we had the 2021 Ram Rebel 1500 in our fleet as well. You probably have
right, the Rebel too. Rouser, right? Or no, you yeah. had the, was that the 19 or was that a 21?
It was a 21 Rebel Rouser. Yeah, you got
gotcha,
it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we did kind of a leveling kit. We actually lifted it a little bit further and we used Falcon shocks for that. But what I didn't do when I did that is, so we gave it a little bit more height, and you do that by preloading the front springs. So basically that coilover, you know, has this a way to lift it up a little bit, right? So, but I should have changed springs because after we preloaded the springs, the front end became too stiff.
Oh, gotcha.
What you really need to do is, it costs more money, of course, but get a slightly shorter spring. So the spring is not preloaded because it's losing some of its give. But the shocks were amazing. Those Falcon shocks were, they also had adjustability, so you can make them a little bit stiffer and very easily, like three notches, three settings, and then a little bit softer. So it was good for towing or off-road. And you could really quickly go between them. So, but once again, I kind of, when we did that project, I made the front end a little bit too stiff because we'd never changed the springs, the front springs.
Right.
So that's the only thing, like I would say, if you wanted to make your truck a little bit more capable, specifically off-road, It's probably ground clearance, right?
Right.
It's tires and ground clearance.
So would you keep the 20s or drop down to an 18?
I would drop down to an 18.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I'm thinking about doing. The only thing about that is, does that change much of the tow rating or anything?
No, if you are kind of, when you're getting the tire, let's say you downsized your wheel to from a 20 to an 18, and then you're selecting your tire, the tire rating should take care of it. So like, make sure it's the same or better than what it right. was. Like load range, look at the load range, look at the speed rating. You know, there's all those numbers that you can check. And yeah, it shouldn't affect the towing at all. So
awesome.
And also there'll be more give in the tire, right? So it will be better for off-roading. And also I would say one thing that sometimes I wish I had on some trucks is like side rock slider protection.
Yeah, right now it's got standard step bars or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And they're definitely not rated to support a whole lot of weight.
Yeah, that's the
only thing. But they're convenient to climb up into, you know, so.
Yeah.
And if I'm touching the bars, that's probably too much off-roading that I want to do, so.
Yeah, but I mean, if you wanted to push it a little bit further, right, if you're getting more adventurous, I would say, I mean, if you did a small lift or maybe a leveling kit, maybe different shocks, different tires, I would also look at rock sliders because it just gives you that peace of mind. If you are hitting some rocks, you know, you're hitting the rock slider first and not hitting your body. So that's really important.
Awesome. Well, I think that's probably the step I'm going to take. I'm definitely thinking adjustable shocks because I like how you said you could go from off-road to towing. So that really appeals to me.
Yeah.
And
for example,
other than that, just tires.
Yeah, we have a Ram 2500 Cummins right now in our fleet, and we went with Performance Fox shocks. They have remote reservoirs, but that's a couple of steps up the ladder, right?
Right.
Because they have remote reservoirs and they have adjustability. So, I mean, you could spend a lot of money on shocks. So you have to kind of figure out what you want. Maybe something a little bit more simple, you know, works for you because... You know, sometimes shocks can be, I don't know, 300 a piece or 2000 a piece, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you can go all the way very, very high.
Do you remember how much the Rebel squatted when you guys fully loaded it at all?
Those Falcon shocks we put on there did have this, you know, the towing setting, basically making the shock more stiff. And it helped with squat a little bit.
Right.
It didn't squat terribly much, and we pushed it hard. That Rebel was rated to tow also 11,000 pounds, and we pushed it really hard, and it did squat. Especially it's visible because the front end is now higher, so
right,
when you load it up now under weight, the rear looks a little bit, you know, lower. So but I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Yeah. People say that these Rams squat a lot, but I haven't had a whole lot of weight on it to prove it. I remember I had a 16 Ram at one point and I put a trailer on it and squatted quite a bit. And I was thinking about putting airbags in it, but you know, never did.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you do. I mean, if you tow, you know, on a regular basis, or if you load it up fully on a regular basis, you might want to, but if you don't, I mean,
yeah, I just do here and there, you know, it's nothing, you know, crazy weight.
All right. Well, there you have it. I think you have a cool truck, and I mean, you can improve it a little bit more.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
Well, that was interesting, Andre.
Yeah. And I think Matthew hit it on the nail on the head because he has not a Rebel truck, but he wants to make it more like the Rebel, right? And like you just heard, you need Bilstein shocks, you need a little higher suspension, you need maybe a bigger tire. So if you can combine all those elements, you could step it up.
My only like criticism of the Warlock is it just looks a little too
work trucky.
Yeah, too kind of plain Jane, right? I'd like to see maybe a bigger sticker package on it, or
there's a little Warlock on the back here.
Yeah, or something that, you know, that makes it look much more off-roady than basically a little bit of a lifted work truck right
what
now.
What kind of signals to me, like when I see a truck just rolling down the street or the highway, I kind of glance at the tires, right? If the tires are knobby, something is going on there. It could be somebody did it aftermarket, or it could be, of course, the way it came from the factory. And as soon as I see that, I can kind of see there's something else going on here behind the skin.
I think the biggest problem I have with it are it's just got standard bumpers, and it's got that big like lip for fuel economy.
Yeah, in the front.
That extends below the for corporate fuel
economy. Yeah, right here.
And so that does not say off-road to me. That says a lot of other things, but off-road it isn't. I like it, but I think I'd have to pull that off right away.
Once you get it.
Once I got it, yeah.
And of course, Ram didn't change their interiors that much. I think they were good to begin with, and they're still really good as far as these trucks are concerned.
Hey, let's do a little TFL rant here.
Okay.
Because I think it's important at this point. Now, last week, this video hasn't published yet, you took the brand new Lexus GX 550 up the Ike.
Yes.
And you had an interesting failure because it's now happened to us three times. And the first time it happened to us, we didn't say anything because it was a prototype vehicle.
Pre-production.
Yeah, pre-production. The second time, we mentioned it kind of in the middle of the video. But this third time now is starting to become a little bit worrisome. So you want to tell them what happened when you tried to tow with the new GX 550?
Yeah, this is a new truck-based SUV from Lexus. The trailer brake controller did not work.
Just like and it didn't work with the Land Cruiser, just like it didn't work with the
pre-production Tacoma
and it always seems to be the same problem, and that's why I'm starting to think that there's something that's more than just individual problems with individual vehicles, right? And
or our trailer,
or our trailer,
because we use our trailer every day almost, and other vehicles work great with our trailer.
So at first we thought, you know, the fault lies not in ourselves but in our stars. In other words, it's in our trailer, but it turns out it probably is in the vehicle and not in the trailer, or at least in the, and we have a big text trailer, so this is not some kind of weird, you know.
It's not an overland trailer, from Australia. Yeah, no, it's very basic.
It's kind of the basic, and it works with every other truck that we have, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And the problem seems to be the same, right? The lights work.
But no brakes,
which is bad.
So lights are one thing, right? You want to communicate with people around you, turn signals, brake lights, running lights, etc. But we tow heavy. We tow always over 3,000 pounds, which is the line, right, legally, at least for our state, is where you must have trailer brakes. And when the trailer brake controller on the vehicle doesn't supply brake signal, that's a huge safety problem.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Well, you were pretty scared going down the Ike.
Yeah. So our solution is a remote brake controller,
but that doesn't give you the kind of same feel.
Precision.
It's very abrupt.
It doesn't have precision. Yeah.
Right. So this is it's a Prodigy, right?
It's an RF Prodigy. Yes.
And so what the built-in trailer brake controller does is when you pull it, you can modulate the brakes on the trailer so you don't have to lock up your tires. But with the Prodigy, it seems like it's an on and off switch.
Yeah, even though it's supposed to modulate, it's never quite works perfectly, right? So
if you feel it, because when you use it, right, the whole
I've scared you once.
I mean, all of a sudden it like locks up the trailer, and like I go flying forward, and almost hit my head in the windscreen.
It wasn't that bad.
It was that bad. It was pretty bad.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I was like, well, Andre, what the heck is that? So I don't know what's happening with Toyota. This is a bigger question than we were talking about this morning, because obviously there's other issues that Toyota's facing right now with the Tundra, with the Tacoma, with the Grand Highlander, and I don't want to go into that. That's a whole separate podcast. But let's start with the small things, like making sure that your brake controller works from the factory.
Yeah, and we haven't – our experiences have been less than good.
Yeah, the last three Toyotas we've had, we have not been able to get it to work. And this is not sending a man to Mars, Andre, right? This is a 7-pin connector that's been around for a long time. And I my sense is that it's not a wiring problem. I feel like it's a software problem.
It very well could be.
Because I feel like the brake controller is now integrated into the computer systems of the truck, and somehow something's not talking to something, which is only allowing the lights to work, but not actually braking the trailer.
And I think there's a bigger question here with how Toyota handles their software. And I mean from the usability standpoint, right? I really love like GM and Ford have really great trailer integration software. And by that, I mean you can name your trailer anything you want. You could save it. You could track your efficiency with the trailer. You can track your distance you went.
Fair, except at that Ranger we have.
Yes.
Like about 25% of the time when I start it up, it thinks there's a trailer hooked up to it.
Oh, boy.
You've seen that, right?
Yes, I've seen it.
Right.
The Ranger Raptor has a bug somewhere, and it says,
it asks you what trailer you're towing with.
And you're like, I'm not towing anything.
There's nothing back there.
So we have an issue like that with our Ranger. But I mean, in general, I love that software. Ram is approaching that level. But Toyota, I think, still has a ways to go. It's really quite difficult to track your trailers or, you know.
It might be a cultural thing, right?
It could be a cultural thing.
Because I'm not sure that, I don't know what Japanese use to tow, but I'm sure it's not a 7-pin connector. I think that's a very North American.
Or maybe they don't tow quite as often or as far.
Or maybe it's much more commercial over there. So that it's, you know, it's here we've got funky rules that allow people who don't have specific training to tow
big, or to drive big vehicles.
Yeah. It's America. You know, that's what we're about. We're about freedom. And I feel like, and I'm just, you know, spitballing this, so please don't take it for gospel. I kind of feel like the Japanese are probably much more rule-oriented, and they probably wouldn't just let anybody get behind the wheel of a, let's say, 35,000-pound trailer and pull it up and over a mountain.
Yes.
All right. What else we got here?
So I want to point out a couple more affordable options, which people may not think about. So the new Tacoma has a two-door pre-runner truck. It's called the TRD pre-runner. It's a two-wheel drive truck, but it's lifted with off-road tires.
So it's not an access cab. It's just a regular old two-door.
Two-door with a little extension in the back.
How big is the bed?
6 feet usually for this guy. And it starts at under 40K.
Wow.
So, I mean, it does have, you know, the turbo engine and it's a little pre-runner.
Yeah, but is it like a TRD Pro in that it's got the cladding and the tires and, you know, all the
It's like the off-road truck, the TRD off-road truck that we had.
Yeah.
Except it's two-wheel drive.
Okay.
So, and short cab. So it's a little bit, you know, more unique. So if you're in the desert, maybe you don't need four-wheel drive always. Maybe
Florida.
You're in Florida.
Yeah,
you're going
Texas.
On a two-track trail somewhere.
Arizona, any place like that, right? Where you probably do okay with just two-wheel drive. Having said that, though, you know, you can live with snow tires on a rear-wheel drive car or a front-wheel drive car. But the problem is, like, when you go two-wheel drive on a truck, all the weight's in the front.
And not much of it is in the back.
Yeah, that does limit traction.
And that could be a huge problem in the winter or even in the sand, right?
Yeah.
Nissan has something similar.
It's certainly cool. I like it.
Yeah, Nissan has something similar for even less money. As we're wrapping up this show, they have the Pro X. Of course, they have the Pro 4X, right? But they also have the Pro X, which is two-wheel drive version of their off-road truck for under $39,000. So let me show you. It's right here. Well, I like some of their colors, dude.
I wonder how hard it is to get some of these like special editions. Because once again, with Toyota...
Because I've never seen it at a dealership.
Yeah, I have never seen a pre-runner. Maybe because we're in Colorado, Andre. Maybe this is something that they reserve.
I think it's special order. There must be special order.
So you know my friend James, right?
Yes.
He wanted a Toyota Tacoma with the long bed, but the two-door in four-wheel drive.
Okay.
Maybe it's an extra cab. Can you get that? But it's very rare. Can you go to the configurator on Toyota? Because you can get a two-door with the long bed without...
You can also get a crew cab long bed.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, he didn't want the crew
Which
cab.
Which one did he want? This one?
Yeah, it's a four-wheel drive, though. It's not the pre-runner.
Okay.
It's four-wheel drive, but it's got two doors.
Let me check that.
Yeah, check that out, because he said he's got one coming. I think it's going to be here in like 2 weeks, and he said...
Really?
When they looked at it, there were only like 16 in the whole country. They were so rare.
I believe it.
You see it up on the configurator?
But he wanted four-wheel drive, you said.
Four-wheel drive, yeah.
Yes. Let me configure the two-door... Four-wheel drive.
Yeah, so
yeah, it exists.
It exists, yeah. But it's
and the four-wheel drive costs about $3,200.
Which is not bad compared to what other manufacturers charge for four-wheel drive. How much is a base? How much is a base one? So if you get the two-door four-wheel drive.
Well, this is an SR5, which is almost base.
Is it an extra cab or is it just two-door?
This is called extra cab, but it's only two doors.
Yeah. But I'm guessing
the rear doors don't open.
They don't open yet. That's what I'm.
$41,895 is this guy, which is an SR5, which is almost the base one.
So that's the same as a pre-runner.
Approximately, yeah. But it's got four-wheel drive.
Yeah. So if you don't need those rear doors, you can get basically a pre-runner in four-wheel drive for the same amount of money.
Except you won't get like the rear locker and the off-road tires. You'd have to get the tires yourself. Right?
Which is not hard.
I think you can get the work truck, the SR Tacoma, also with four-wheel drive. Yeah, it looks like you can. And that's, that's $36,195. So, yeah, you can get a little Tacoma with four-wheel drive as well.
So, in the past, the problem with those work trucks in the Tacoma was they had a four-cylinder engine. And basically, you got the same fuel economy as a six-cylinder, but you got a lot less power. But this will have the four-cylinder turbo.
So, yeah, it will.
So you won't have to, like, you know, feel like you're getting the wrong end of the stick and, you know, not getting any benefit out of it, not getting better fuel economy.
And it's tuned a little bit lower in this work truck as far as the power is concerned. But still, I drove it in California.
But you can't get it in a manual because no Tacoma comes in a manual. No, you can get a manual.
You can.
That's right.
You can, but it depends on the engine.
Okay.
It definitely depends on the version of it.
Can you get a manual on this?
In the work truck, no, not in this one.
Hmm.
Additional changes may be required, Roman, when I click on it.
Let's face it, we're getting to the point where manuals cost more than automatics now.
Yeah.
It's completely
It's making me choose a four-door cab for a manual.
Ah.
You see?
Yeah, there you go. Hmm. That's a weird choice.
It's a weird combination.
Yeah, that is a weird combination.
Yeah.
Huh. How much is it? Does it cost more or less if you get the four-door with the
four-door,
manual?
Four-door, four-wheel drive manual is $35,100, so it's...
identical.
Not that much more.
Yeah, it's a very similar.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any others on your list?
I'm kind of done.
Okay.
With the latest stuff. So even though it's getting a little bit more complicated, I hope this episode kind of clears things up a little bit.
Yeah, and I appreciate that you try to go a little bit more economical. So, you know, Warlock,
SR, Pre-Runner Honor is a little bit cheaper, Pro X, once again, two-wheel drive Frontier. And also the Super Duty XL off-road package. That looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And then if you really want to go crazy, you know, go get yourself like a base F-150 and get that supercharger for the Coyote. And you can crank that thing up for another $10,000 from the dealer.
And have 700 horsepower.
Which is also another
there you go.
Effective way to save some money. As always, guys, we really appreciate you watching. Remember, we want to thank our Patreon supporters. You guys are great. And if you want to see videos before anybody else,
that's where you go.
Yeah, go to where? Patreon.com/TFLCar.
Yep, that's it.
And check out alltfl.com for more news, views, and what, Andre?
Real world reviews, because we don't always podcast. We also get out there and do the reviews.
You're not just pointing at stuff. We're actually testing stuff.
Driving off-road, on-road, with trailers or without trailers.
And that's all you, man. That's why you should be on Actoid.
I'm flexing right now. Nobody can see it, but I am flexing.
All right. See you guys next time. Ciao.